content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Lyons District N newsletter for the month of September of 2022. The first page of the newsletter has several pictures of Lyons doing what they do best. We've got some folks handing out big checks. We've got people at a baseball game. We've got folks that look like they're enjoying a buffet. So looks like the Lions in District N are out and about and active. The district governor goals. Here are a few things that I would like emphasized. Membership. We must encourage more folks to join Lions. I will go anywhere to help talk to folks if needed. Everyone, invite one person that will join or have an exclusive membership party. It's very important to get Lions to get excited again enough to share Lionism with others. Two, those that evaluate children's eyesight, whether with spot machines or vision vans, please test for colorblindness. We can provide free tests for adults or children, paperwork for teachers and parents, and help through Lions, schools, foundations to help people see color again. Also, a great aha moment to get folks excited again. Three, turn in Lion hours. There are many reasons to do it and will help individual clubs ultimately. Call if you need me to explain reasons. Four, I would like to have a state Lion Day. I am collaborating with other governors to get it done. I want to thank Lions for working thankless hours, and it will be a food service day or food drive or other food-related service. Every Lions club should be involved. The service should end September 24th. It would be great for marketing, membership, and for letting folks see Lions do things on a grand scale. Five, start brighter visions early. Six, let folks know about the organ donor guys and other chairs for talking about their respective interests. I am there if needed. Together we can. And here's the district governor's message. Greetings, Lions. We had an incredible Brighter Visions kickoff. Over 40 folks there in attendance. So that tells me that more folks are getting out and getting back to work in Lionism. I had 3.5 donuts at the beginning, so I was vibrating from the sugar and excitement. Great briefings given by the wonderful folks from Camp Dogwood. They helped me and others to understand the importance of giving to Brighter Visions so that many folks are helped, and probably from your community, too. Because of the pandemic, funding has been rather low and sporadic, but as soon as I started opening envelopes, I started tearing up. The Lions of 31N are back with a vengeance, and we are roaring loud and proud. Lion Jean Getz, Brighter Visions Chair, gave me these numbers. Please keep in mind that they are unofficial until turned in. Checks turned in were for $18,180. The largest one is shown in the picture, not just in size, grin, but in amount, for $7,000 from the Western Harnett Lions, whose president is Lion Joe Poth. Thanks go out to all the clubs that donated. You are all making a major difference in so many people's lives. We had a raffle this year, too, thanks to Lion Jean. That added an additional $1,020 to the pot for a total of $19,200. That's pretty good for a day's work. I am trying to see if other money was spent indirectly to Camp Dogwood so that numbers can also be added in. I'll let you know what happens. I just noticed that I seem to be the shortest one in the picture, just letting everyone know it's a special optical illusion. I'll explain how it works one day. Don't forget Lions Day in September. I want everyone knowing we are who we are and what we do. Please be visible on September 24th. Vests, shirts, pins, whatever it takes, contact media about what you do, and let me pass on my thanks for all you have done for North Carolina and its people. And that is from DG Mara McLeod. And here's the first Vice District Governor's message. Greetings, fellow Lions. I know everyone has been watching and listening about the flooding in Kentucky that is happening again in the great state of Kentucky. Our very own Lions Club International Foundation has been working very closely with the district governors in Kentucky. I would like to take a moment and talk about Lions Club International Foundation, better known as LCIF. The Foundation's mission is to empower Lions clubs, volunteers, and partners to improve health and well-being, strengthen communities, and support those in need through humanitarian services and grants that impact lives globally and encourage peace and international understanding. At the International Convention, the campaign 100 figures were announced at 324 million, exceeding the goal that was set. It is because of Lions like you that we are able to raise the funds that will help those in need. Past International President Douglas Alexander is the chairperson this year and is looking forward to what accomplishments will happen this year. With that being said, your LCIF coordinator is PDG Rahim Shimouri and is willing to meet your club. Remember, LCIF has done a lot for our district with disaster relief grants, a grant for our disaster relief trailer, and a grant for diabetes in the past few years. So we have received more from LCIF than what we have given. I know a lot of you are wondering what we can do. One is you can donate to LCIF for the flooding that is happening in Kentucky. Also, our district governor, Myra, is in communication with the district governors in Kentucky to see how our district can help. More information will be available soon. Along with receiving more than what we give to LCIF is also Brighter Visions. Did you know that your county receives at least double the amount that your club donates to the Brighter Visions campaign? As Lions, we should get behind this program to help out our citizens in the state. Our Brighter Visions campaign kickoff is August 27th at 10 a.m. at the Lions Industries for the Blind Incorporated in Kinston. We need every club there represented, as our NCLI representatives will be there presenting the campaign, along with information on the Camp Dogwood raffle. As all of you have seen, Lion Gene has been busy with his newsletters. I also know he's beginning to set up visitations to clubs. District Governor's Mayra has a goal of $90,000 this year. I would love to see our district reach the governor's goal. Last, I have set up most of my club visitation schedule, and I'm looking forward to my visits. I'm also planning to make as many zone meetings as I possibly can. I would like to leave you with this: to serve and have fun. Yours in Lionism, 1st VDG Carly and Lion Dawn Metz, New Bern Twin Rivers Lions Club. And here is the visitation for the 1st VDG. The schedule includes October 3rd, Grifton, October 5th, Aurora, on the 11th, Jones County, the 13th, Kinston Host, October 17th to 20th, the VIP Fishing Tournament, October 24th, Pikeville, and October 27th, Farmville. Here's a message from the second Vice District Governor. Good day, Lions. When we talk about diabetes, we typically talk about two versions of the condition, type 1 or type 2. It's important to distinguish between the two because the type determines the treatment. But what if there's a new type of diabetes, one that has important consequences for the brain? Diabetes researcher and Lion, Dr. Marco Songhini, believes he has made a connection between what he is calling type 3 diabetes and dementia. It's a discovery that could revolutionize how we approach the prevention and treatment of cognitive or brain dysfunction. Some may say Songhini was destined to be a diabetes researcher. As a young man, he had a promising future as a swimmer and water polo goalkeeper, but those dreams were thwarted after an accident injured his leg. He shifted his goals and set his sights on becoming an engineer. But just 1 year after his accident, Songhini was diagnosed with diabetes. In type 1 diabetes, the body's immune system destroys the cells that make insulin, the hormone that processes sugar. People with type 1 diabetes require regular insulin injections to maintain a safe blood glucose level. In type 2 diabetes, persistent high levels of sugar in the blood make the body less able to use the hormone properly. Type 2 diabetes is typically associated with poor diet and insufficient exercise, though family history can play a role as well. Eating better, getting in a fitness routine, and taking medications can all help control high blood sugar in people with type 2 diabetes. Previously, it was thought that the central nervous system, which the brain is part of, was not affected by diabetes. But recent research has been indicating that there is indeed a connection between high blood sugar, insulin, and brain function. And patients with diabetes who develop dementia have a unique form of the disease. Based on these findings, Sanjini and his team have been investigating the possibility of a third type of diabetes related to Alzheimer's. If proven true, by connecting diabetes and dementia, healthcare professionals may be able to treat or even head off the devastating consequences of cognitive decline. What's especially interesting about Sanjini's research is that it shows that it only slightly elevated levels of blood sugar can cause the devastating effects of cognitive dysfunction. Now more than ever, Lions should keep doing the good job to prevent diabetes, says Sanjini. There may be even more benefits to a healthy lifestyle than we knew. And that is by, from Anna Elliott, 2nd Vice District Governor. September is Colorblind Awareness Month. John Dalton was a scientist who was born on 6th September 1766. He was the first person known to realize colorblindness exists. As a scientist, he became aware that neither he nor his brother saw colors the same way as everyone else. He thought this was because they had blue liquid in their eyes, and Dalton left his eyes to science so that people could find out when he died. They didn't. However, Dalton did understand that because both he and his brother were affected, that their condition must be hereditary. Over 150 years later, DNA proved he had inherited colorblindness. His observations contributed to the discovery of what we now call color vision deficiency, or CVD, or more commonly known as colorblindness. Colorblindness is also known as Daltonism in his memory. Some alternative terms for colorblindness include Daltonism, achromatic vision, achromatopsia, dichromatic vision, and color vision deficiency, or CVD. Some interesting facts about colorblindness. Babies are born with color vision deficiency. As they grow, their color vision improves and is typically fully developed by the age of 6 months. Overall, color discrimination capability reaches its peak by age 20. And then starts to decline again. Contrary to popular belief, dogs don't actually see in black and white. Dogs are diachromats, which means they have two types of cone cells and see in mostly blue and yellow. To the normally sighted person, a rainbow features all the colors of the rainbow. For many people with CVD, however, a rainbow only appears to have two bands of color, blue and yellow. To a person with CVD, the green light on a stoplight may appear white or even blue, while the red and yellow lights may look similar to each other. People who are both red-green colorblind are often surprised to find out that peanut butter is not green. Electrical goods that have red, green, orange LED displays can be frustrating, as all the colors often look the same. Also, opposing sports teams' colors may be hard to tell apart. Cricket and hockey balls can disappear against a green background, and snooker balls may all look the same. People with red-green CVD may not be able to tell the difference between green and red tomatoes, ripe and unripe bananas, or ketchup and chocolate sauce. And here are the types of color blindness. Deuter anomaly. A reduced sensitivity to green light. This is the most common form of color vision deficiency and is thought to affect about 60% of people with CVD. Protanomaly, a reduced sensitivity to red light. People with deuteranomaly and protanomaly generally have difficulty distinguishing between red, green, brown, and orange hues. Tritanomaly, a reduced sensitivity to blue light, which much rarer than the other two types. This makes it difficult to tell the difference between blue and yellow, violet and red, and blue and green. How does color blindness affect students' learning? Researchers found that color-deficient students are slower to follow instructions and appear hesitant when faced with color-related decisions. They also struggle in school subjects such as chemistry, biology, physics, mathematics, and natural sciences in general. Primary school students, aged 7 to 12, with congenital color vision deficiency, are found to be very sensitive, prefer to be alone, and have short attention spans. Secondary school students, aged 13 to 17, with color vision deficiency, are found to have internalizing behavior problems, low self-confidence, lack of class participation, and inability to concentrate. Students with congenital color vision deficiency are embarrassed when they fail to identify colors correctly, which leads to them being misunderstood as slow learners and ridiculed by teachers and peers. This makes for a challenging educational and learning environment for them. The most common symptoms are difficulty in distinguishing and identifying colors, inability to concentrate for long periods, particularly when coloring, taking a long time to complete a color-related assignment, making a mistake while coloring, and frequently selecting food screen. Not sure what that sentence ended with. Coming soon, our new KidSight Mobile Screening Unit, or KSU, will be screening for color vision deficiency. And here's a note about the passing of Lion Kathy Delaney. Last month, we lost a true lion at heart. Lion Kathy Delaney exhibited the spirit of our lion's motto, "We Serve." When there was a need, you could always count on Lion Kathy to be there. She will be missed by all that she came to contact with. She had the heart of a lion. She joined the Calabash Lions Club in 2010, served the Calabash Lions Club for several years as club secretary and chair of various positions except treasurer, also serving as club president. Recently, she transferred to the Shallet Lions Club. She served as an active zone chair for many years. During hurricanes here on the coast, she was actively involved in relief efforts. After Hurricane Florence, she went, with others, to Leland to help clean up the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. At one point, she felt we had not gotten enough money to help out after the hurricane, and she put together, by herself, a grant proposal for $15,000, which was approved. While several helped her buy necessities, she did 85% of the work needed to get the items to the people who needed them. Lions Kathy was involved with vision screening of the children in Brunswick County. She assisted the district with spot machine screenings. Assisting the school-age children in our district held a special place in Lion Kathy's heart. The KidSight screening units, or KSUs, vehicles are here and will soon be ready for deployment to all five districts in North Carolina. Under a new exciting program, each district will be assigned a Chevrolet Equinox SUV, which will be equipped with at least two Plus Optics S12R vision screening devices and an EarScan 3 audio meter for hearing screenings. Since some schools require the old-fashioned method of screening, the Snellen eye charts and Ishihara color vision books will be included for backup. Vehicles are equipped with GM InSight maintenance monitoring system. Each of these five units will be available to conduct vision and hearing screenings at your local daycare, preschools, schools, and any other location where children may be screened. Since we have a North Carolina SCIF, or State Capital and Infrastructure Funds, grant, we will need to report screening results to the state. Clubs conducting their own screenings and screenings conducted by the KSU will be required to report screenings to the NCLI KidSight State Coordinator. Training held at Camp Dogwood on August 17th and 18th was well attended, with more than 40 Lions attending from all five districts. After an introduction by Camp Dogwood Director Carlton Metz, training on Wednesday was continued by Renee Regnat, CEO of Plus Optics. Renee gave an in-depth description of the Plus Optics screener, and all attendees had an opportunity to use the device and ask questions. Later that afternoon, a KidSight lecture was presented by Dr. Edward V. Cordes, PID, via Zoom. Dr. Cordes is chair of Lions KidSight USA Foundation. Training continued that afternoon with a demonstration of the EarScan 3 audio meter. On Thursday morning, Carlton Metz and Brian Hoover gave a description of MSU KidSite policies and procedures and scheduling process. KidSite Screening Unit Program Details. For clubs doing your own screenings, this program is not intended to compete or replace your club screening efforts. Because the KSU will be equipped with 3 plus optic screening devices, we will be able to screen larger groups. The KSU will be available to come to your location for a total fee of $150. We can screen multiple schools, or your club could organize a community screening event. Each KidSite unit will need dedicated lions to help during the screening event. Being a certified KidSite screener will be required. Becoming certified can be done online. Go to www.lionskidsiteusa.org and click on Get Certified. Children from 6 months to 12 years old can be screened. We are looking forward to this new program and are excited to offer eye screening to all children from 6 months to 12 years of age. And that is from Lion Jean Getz, your MSU KidSite District Chairperson. And here's something from the Western Harnett Lions Club. Western Harnett Lions Supporting the Blind by Lions Joe Poth and Vince Schimmler. Photos by Lion Kaylee Poth. At our June membership meeting, Western Harnett Lions presented a check for $31,000 to Mr. Richard Chatham of the MIRA Foundation, USA. The MIRA Foundation is the only organization in the U.S. that provides guide dogs to teenagers. In 2017, the club initiated a project to raise money to help procure a guide dog for a teenager. Though the club was able to raise the money in only a few years and ahead of schedule, it was confronted with a significant delay. All of the MIRA dogs and teenagers selected for the program are trained in Canada. Because of the COVID pandemic, that country shut down its borders and the guide dog training practically ceased. All of our efforts were put on hold, and for a time, we considered donating to another worthy cause. We were notified just a couple of months ago that if we still wanted to sponsor a blind teenager, the MIRA Foundation was ready to make a recommendation and provide the training. MIRA recommended Ella Shea Maddox, a 16-year-old from Lawrenceville, Georgia. In a letter to our club, Ella Shea said she is a straight-A student and described herself as a typical teen who loves fashion, music, and going to the mall. She told us that having a dog would be so much better than the stigma of a walking cane, and it would give her the confidence to navigate effectively in public. Some of our Lions, who were involved with the project from the beginning, made the presentation to Mr. Chatham from MIRA. The club then heard a short video presentation from Ella Shea Maddox, and she was so thrilled that we were going to support her. This simple thank you and the exhilaration that this young girl showed made our years of planning and saving well worth it. Ella Shea attended the formal training in Canada in late July and received her guide dog sometime in August. We wish her the best in life, and we are hoping our family can establish a long-term relationship with her and her family. We are so honored, blessed, and humbled to truly help this young girl in need. We serve. And there's a lovely picture of 16-year-old Ella Shea, and another picture. And it looks like she's at the mall. And another picture of the Lions presenting a $31,000 check to the MIRA Foundation. Fayetteville Massey Hill Lions Club. The Massey Hill Lions Club of Fayetteville, North Carolina, recently completed their monthly feeding of the homeless in downtown Fayetteville. More than 60 individuals and families were fed a dinner of chicken wings, green beans, sweet potatoes, rolls, dessert, and a beverage. While the club set up a stationary location within the city each month to help attend to the needs of a growing homeless community, the club members also prepare plates and deliver meals to various homeless sites within the city to ensure those desiring a hot meal are attended to. And there are a couple of photos of the food line being lines serving and people receiving that lovely food. Here's a notice from the McLeansville Lions Club and GCWC Lions Club. They are presenting the 21st annual Lion James Delbert Phillips Tractor Show and Fall Festival. This is going to be Saturday, October 1st at 2022 from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be crafters, a silent auction, a bake sale, yard sales, entertainment, food, cars, tractors, and raffles. The event will be at 1124 Mount Hope Church Road. That's at the corner of Mount Hope Church Road and Highway 70. If you'd like more event info, contact Tammy Phillips at 336-987-6323 or Susie Daly at 704-439-6278. Or you can message them on Facebook at the McLeansville Lions Club page. The Hampstead Lions Club is having a raffle. The prize is a $500 gift card to Walmart. There will only be 500 tickets sold. The tickets are $5 each, or three for $10. To get one, you can call Val at 910-231-2474, or Elaine at 201-704-5604. The drawing will be held on Saturday, November 19th. Here's a notice about the Anger Lions Club Vendors Resale Stop and Shop. This will be on October 8th at the Anger Depot at 19 West Depot Street. It runs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Outside tables for $20 and inside tables will be going for $30. To reserve space, you need to do so by October 1st. And you can email m5djack@yahoo.com to reserve a space. And lastly, we have an ad for the Lions Industries for the Blind Incorporated. Independence through employment, providing quality products and services for over 40 years. Now offering Lions Club apparel. And there are some lovely photos of a fleece vest, a polo shirt, a t-shirt, and a rain jacket, and a ball cap, all with the Lions International logo on it from LIB Graphic Solutions. And to learn more about that, you can call them at 252-523-1019. And here are some dates to remember. October 24th, the second cabinet meeting, the time and locations to be announced. Next January 14th, the third cabinet meeting and during the midwinter convention. And next April 22nd, fourth cabinet meeting during the state convention. The global service team dates to remember. September 24th, North Carolina Lions Day Food Drive. October through December, Lions Toys Drive. January through March, the 31N Service with Boy and Girl Home. And next March, Camp Dogwood Volunteer Week. And next April, Earth Day events. And for the global membership team, some dates to remember. In December, there's a new members competition. And next June, another new members competition. And we have come to the end of this newsletter for District N of September 2022. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The Lion newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, you can call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.